Hello, it's Friday. That's another edition now of Real and Unscripted, the Zogby Report. As always, I'm here with Jeremy. We're going on. We started this in January of 2020, so we're just about celebrating our third full year of doing this. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. It's the nation I'm a little troubled about, but then what's new? So here's what I'd like to talk about today. Endless investigations, just permanent investigations. And I will tell you, and you know this already, that I thought entirely too much time was spent by our Congress investigating Donald Trump. And so I'm going to keep this as nonpartisan as I possibly can. Not that Donald Trump did not do things that were wrong. I believe with all my heart and soul that he did, wrong and illegal. But I also know that he was being investigated by district attorneys and state's attorney general, you know, mainly in New York, but elsewhere in the country. I also know that we have a Justice Department as well, and that he was being investigated by the Justice Department. What I didn't understand was why there had to be so many impeachment trials, including after he left office, especially when we knew that impeachment and conviction were partisan, were going to be voted in a partisan way, and we're never going to go anywhere. And so with all of that said, the former president is in the hands now of where it should have been right along, you know, the criminal justice system and civil cases. And Congress, empowered to investigate, my understanding is it's empowered to investigate to legislate, not to punish, to mete out punishment or justice, but rather, to pass laws and make sure that data is collected from various interested parties. So I'm really perplexed that now we have a new Republican House of Representatives, and we barely got ourselves a Speaker of the House. And then immediately, special select committee is formed to do what? To investigate. To investigate what? The weaponization of the federal government against conservatives. All right. And we know that there are pledges now to investigate Hunter Biden and corruption in the Biden administration. How legitimate those are, I don't know. What I do know is that why can't these matters be turned over to the Justice Department and to states? And in the case of now the latest revelations, which Joe Biden was wrong, okay? Joe Biden, the documents were found and he turned them over late, not before the election. When his team discovered that he was in possession at the Penn Biden Center of about a dozen or so classified documents. Now a new treasure trove of documents found in his garage, incidentally with his Corvette. Those have been turned over as well. But why do we have to have Congress's time utilized investigating all things all the time? I'm very troubled by that. Kevin McCarthy, this will be my final point. Believe me, I have more, but I'm going to end on this note. Kevin McCarthy said that we we have to investigate this because I'm referring to Biden and the classified documents. This is why people cannot trust their government. This is a guy who 1 week earlier also proved why Americans don't trust their government, and that travesty of a selection of a speaker and the great giveaway that McCarthy himself had done. So let's say that I just began with a personal political rant, and there you have it. You're welcome to agree, most welcome to agree, and you're always welcome to disagree, but I like agree better.
Yeah, I mean, don't we all, but why are we asking this question now? I mean, you asked the question, you hinted at it. Why did it happen so much during the Trump administration? Because half of the country was convinced he was a criminal. Six mm-hmm. years of ongoing investigation and a notion that we're this close to nabbing him. We've got him. First of all, what kicked off Donald Trump's alleged criminal activity? His mere election, his mere inauguration, it coincides with a major attack, a major assault from a great deal of Washington, D.C. agencies, both intelligence and justice. And so, I mean, I've said this before, the parties are at war with each other. I've also said before, we don't need to take presidents and treat them like heroic and iconic. They are mm-hmm. not. We are an empire of opulence. We are an empire of opulence that is growing further in control of fewer hands. That breeds corruption by its very nature. This is the most vast empire the world has ever known. This is an empire that can create trillions of dollars into existence with the push of a button on a computer. This is an empire that it virtually spawned a derivatives market that some estimate is in the quadrillions. This is all within the hands of a tiny few group of people. That breeds corruption. Why do we kid ourselves that it's those guys? It's Team Blue. No, it's Team Red. We're the ones who are falling for this nonsense. It is my strong belief with evidence that going back, let's not go too far back, but at the very least going back to George W. Bush, I am very confident in saying that he was engaged in activity that could have resulted, should have resulted in his impeachment. I would say the same for Barack Obama. I would say Trump, I'm sure that, look, when your mentor is Les Wexner, who's connected to Robert Blackwell, whose daughter is Ghislaine Maxwell, who is the partner in crime with Jeffrey Epstein in the world's greatest known child trafficking sex ring. Yeah, I'm sure. And he, by the way, Donald Trump was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sure that Trump is guilty, although they're going after his tax records. I'm not interested in his tax filings. I'm more interested in that. We know what Bill Clinton and his connection to Jeffrey Epstein is. And we know that going back with Biden, I was aware back in 2014 of Biden and his son's Hunter's engagement in Ukraine following a brutal coup d'etat that brought in a Western-backed government. That this is, by the way, this is all the roots of the problem that we have in Ukraine, and that Hunter Biden was on the board of an energy company, and the whole goal was to block Russia out of Ukraine, bring them into the EU, and drill for natural gas to screw the Russians, and that was all initiated by a Western-backed coup d'etat. And yes, the Bidens were very much involved in that. Why do we have our heroes? Why do we think that one party is incapable of corruption? The whole system is vastly corrupt. I'm going to say a couple other things. You know, we hear a lot about conspiracy theories. It's getting sickening how much people talk about conspiracy theories. And the notion of a conspiracy theory has become weaponized to shut down any debate. We see that with the Twitter files. And that's not just in terms of the fact that we now have documents showing that Pfizer themselves could influence the leadership at Twitter, but the intelligence agencies could influence the leadership at Twitter, and so could the White House, both Trump and Biden, and probably going back to Obama. And so, I mean, what we have here is a vast, vast, vast criminal syndicate, probably the likes of which the world has never known. And all we're doing is fighting over, I'm going to defend the guy that I like, the guy that I voted for. But yet we need to prosecute that one. So my point is, release all the files, release the damn files, and we will know what is conspiracy and we will know what is real, what is true.
Now, which files are these that you're talking
about? You know, whatever evidence there is on Trump, whatever evidence there is on Biden and his family, I mean, can we really trust? I understand that we have a Department of Justice and there's all kinds of things of documents not being released to the public. But even beyond that, I'm saying that there are so many classified files prior to Trump and Biden that could give us an understanding of the corruption within both the DNC and the RNC, that ultimately we would see the corruption within these two figureheads who now take most of the attention in the public sphere. And so, I mean, you know, that's my take on it. You know, it's not partisan. It's understanding power. It's understanding corruption. And it's getting beyond the silly, childish view that your party, my party, is above the other party. It's just not possible if you listen to everything I laid out.
Okay, so there you have it. Two rants, father and son. And both, I think, equally representing, fairly representing, how we feel. So here's a question then, kind of a lightning round. So we have this new House Select Committee on investigating the weaponization of government against conservatives. Do we need that? And do you have any sense at all that will root anything out that's meaningful or significant?
As long as it's partisan, I don't see how. And because, again, I've made very clear that you have vast corruption. It's not so much the party. The political party, in my view, political parties are like what we interface with. Behind the political parties are revolving doors between regulatory agencies and multinational corporations and think tanks who are populated by both liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats. And so much of this problem is that we're bamboozled by this facade of party politics and only, only seeing it in terms of, this Congress, that Congress, Team Blue versus Team Red. But there's something behind the scenes and we need to go deeper.
I have an added dimension. I have absolutely no faith whatsoever. In fact, I think that the whole exercise is one of revenge and extreme partisanship. But what also troubles me about a committee like this, beyond the partisanship, is that it's institutional. So in other words, if let's say I'm a pope and I know that my church is extremely corrupt, do I designate cardinals and bishops to investigate the corruption of the church? Of course not. I go to the degree that it's possible to find independent, non-institutional, somewhat respected folks outside the institution to take a look from the outside in, as opposed to seriously having members of Congress from one party investigate the weaponization of government, translated the weaponization by the other party of government. So it's not simply that it's partisan. It's also that it's the fox guarding the chicken coop. First opportunity to take, they'll take a bite and protect themselves and feed themselves. I know that's awfully cynical, but but I'm left with really no other choice but to be very cynical.
Who is that independent body, and who gets to determine who is independent and to what degree independent? I mean, that's the point that we're at right here. You know, it's like, it goes back to your question. I'm just, you know, look, oftentimes I'm very conservative in my choice of words, but I'm just going to say the Vatican has a major pedophilia problem, almost a cultish level of pedophilia. And just as you said, how do we expect bishops and archbishops and cardinals to deal with that when many of them were accomplices, right? I don't know to what degree, what number, but several of them were. And so anyway, I don't know how we find who the independent body is that both parties are going to say, you know what, I trust that group. You know, they sound like they're pretty objective, when both parties don't even have objectivity. So I don't even think we could go to that. And meanwhile, that would just be undermining our system. The only thing that we can do is get a critical mass of people to wake up and smell the coffee and look, I want to be careful. I don't think we need to overhaul our Constitution. I think we need to overhaul the radical interpretation of it that we've had over the last 100 years, because that's what has brought us to this point. And so, but the digger that we deep, we're going to find that it's very ugly. And what I'm afraid of is that I mentioned a few podcasts ago, I read about a term called a post-persuasion society, which is a very good description of where we're at, where it's very difficult to get opposing camps to even talk and to even have a discussion like you and I do. But what I'm worried about is that we're moving towards a post-truth society where people do not want to face the truth. People do not want to face some very ugly things. I'm going to quote somebody. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's an influential figure in Los Angeles, and I had the opportunity to speak with him. And he said to me, Jeremy, the two things you cannot talk about are the corruption, in the sense of the sphere of pedophilia, and to what degree the government acted not in the best interest of the public regarding COVID. And as we see more data and files emerge on those two very controversial topics, you may disagree with it, but you should never say, no, this is conspiracy theory. You have to look for you have to look at the data for yourself to see that these are things that are worthy of investigating in.
Okay, one final question, and we'll make this a lightning rod for both of us. So just today, this is Friday, today, the numbers were released showing that the rate of inflationary growth annualized is 6.5%. You'll recall that 5 months ago, it was 9.5%. And so inflation is still increasing, but it's increasing at a much slower pace. And that's been a steady trajectory downward. At the same time, if you take a look at the four polls that have been published just since January 1st, President Biden's approval rating is 46.3%. Disapproval rating is at 50%. Those are significant improvements that have, and that trajectory has been steadily going up as well. I'm only setting the table for future conversations. As we look ahead to 2024, is this a whole new Joe Biden reinvigorated? Or do you believe that those numbers will be undermined either by the economy, a recession, or the latest revelations of his in being in possession of documents?
I don't think Biden will ever reach near close to 50%. Whatever bumps show 46%, the average is still probably 43-44. While inflation is supposedly lowered, I what is that formula? What are they going by? These are the same people who concoct formulas that leave out the price of energy. Okay, what happens when you put I know gas has come back down, but what happens when you factor in the housing? You know, those are things that aren't factored in the inflation rate formula. And so my question is, how do we get the true rate of inflation? What would that number look like? That's number one. Number two, so the Fed has now put itself into this position where they are committed to raising interest rates. What are we at, 6% now? Above 6%?
Well, effective for individuals and small businesses, it's probably 6.5%. In terms of preferred banks, it's 4 or 4.25%.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they have moved it up to 6.5%. So what happens when they get to 7? What happens when they get to 7.5? Where is our national debt right now? As the national debt increases and as the interest rate increases, we have more interest to pay on the national debt. And so I think at some point, well, here's the other more practical thing. The housing market is slowing down because as the interest rates go up, most people, especially young people, those looking to get their first home or maybe looking to move out of their starter home, it's moving away from them. So the bubble will burst in the housing market as interest rates continue to go up. Not to mention, what's that going to do to corporate debt? And a lot of these corporations that are, look at their balance sheets. They're not in very good positions. They've been really heavily relying on easy money. So what's going to happen is, I think at some point this year, the continuation of Powell's policy of doing rate hikes, he's going to have to go back on that and reverse course and bring it back down closer to zero, which means that's a very inflationary environment. Mm-hmm. So
last word?
Sure.
You asked, what is the true inflation rate? And I'm going to answer that by saying it's the same answer as what is the middle class. I think it is what you feel it is. And particularly at the moment that you have to make a decision on voting, that's the real inflation rate. If you're feeling better about things, then it matters less that it was 10% and it's now 6%. If you're still finding that prices are out of your reach, that things are getting worse for you, that's the true inflation rate. That's a pollster talking. I'm signing off. Good conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Yes, I mean, in this, you're right in the sense of perception, but speaking objectively, I don't think that Germans in 1923 just all of a sudden, you know, just perceived or felt that there was hyperinflation. There was hyperinflation. That wasn't, you know, so much a perception. That was a reality from the monetary policy. But that's me signing off.
Have a good week, despite depressing ourselves and our viewers and listeners.